Hey folks, this is Doug the Thug Smith. You might know me from my book in the movie Goon. I'm on the Board Sports Podcast with our boys here. Great hosts. Hope you guys all pay attention to these guys. They know what they're talking about.
You can put it on the board. Yes.
And welcome back to another edition of the On the Board Sports Podcast. I am your host, Will Trucci, a.k.a. Will C., coming to you from Long Island, New York. And, you know, it's snowing over here in New York. And west of me right now, Sean, you know it's snowing right now. I'm talking with the one and only Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Sean Hill. Mike, Sean, man, it's a winter wonderland out over here in New York. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. But, Will, there's only one living thing that's doing better than us on a Wednesday. Can you tell our guests and the people what that living thing is, Will?
You've been telling me this all the time. It's a camel on hump day.
Camel on hump day, Will. Will, how are you doing, pal?
Doing good. Can't complain. Hard day at work. You know that. And we're here right now. We're making magic happen right now. We're trying to make the best out of a bad situation. But, Sean, you already know it. But for the listeners out there, we have two very special guests with us. Joining us is Jake Assman from The Jake Assman Show and Matt O'Leary from Just Jets. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate you guys sacrificing some time. How are you guys making out today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to be on and talk some football with y'all. It's going to be a fun
Fellas,
show.
Thanks for having me back on. Always a pleasure to join some Long Islanders as we do this podcast. And I'm here in Houston, so I love getting a little New York flavor.
The four Long Islanders, the Fab Four from the island. It's awesome with a capital A to reference the great Dick Vitale. But, gentlemen, we got to leave things off right now with the Jets. And, Jake, what a better man to talk to right now. You're the guy right now that's basically out there talking about them after losing in heartbreaking fashion this week. The Jets, they fall to 0-12. They fire Greg Williams right now. It's not looking too good. For the winning-wise, anyway, but it's supposed to look brighter. We'll see what happens as time moves on. But, Jake, give us the state of the Jets right now, bud.
Yeah, they're four L's away from perfection. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have not celebrated anything in a long time the way I celebrated the end of that game. I could not have been happier. Greg Williams, they should honor him. You know, opening day next year, put him in the Jets Ring of Honor right next to Namath and Maynard. I mean, that was amazing. And it is so remarkable how incapable this football team is of winning a game. It's just, it's amazing. I you know, for a while, I'm like, they're going to ruin it. They're going to win a game. And then, you know, when they got the stop on fourth down, I'm like, they're really going to do this. Of course, Jacksonville's going to go 1-15. And the Jets will go 1-15, won't even get the first pick because it's the one year you can't, you know, go 1-15 and get the first pick based on tiebreakers. And I was furious. And, you know, when the ball was thrown in the air on the previous play and Carr missed Aguilar, I was furious. I thought it was over right there. In fact, I tweeted Derek Carr sucks. And then, you know, I'm on delay. All of a sudden, I see my phone starting to blow up. I don't look at it because I don't want to see what happens. And then the next play, I see, holy bleep, he's going deep again. And I couldn't believe, you know, that was the outcome. So, I mean, look, four more games of Gase, four L's away from locking up the first pick. Hope the Jaguars could find a way to win a game because then I'll actually root for the Jets to, you know, win a game because I do feel for the players. I feel for Darnold. They're the sacrificial lambs and all this. But, you know, this season has been lost basically after week three. So at this point, we're this close to getting that first pick. And that's all that matters at this point, just dealing with four more games of this garbage and hope that there's, you know, certainly a lot to look forward to this offseason and moving forward.
Absolutely. Maddie?
Yeah, I mean, I could say the same thing for myself. I was watching that game, and I was like, I can't believe somehow, some way they're going to find a way to win this game, especially because the Raiders were up by, you know, double-digit points at one point in the second half, and I thought it was over for sure. They go on a crazy drive. You have a Ruggs fumble earlier, and then, like Jake was saying, it's you had Derek Carr miss on that deep shot, and I was like, oh, that was the chance. Without that, I don't see how you possibly get another opportunity like that. And then Greg Williams does Greg Williams things. He sends the house on a blitz and leaves the undrafted rookie free agent one-on-one with one of the fastest players in the league, and that's the end result. But I think for the long run, it's probably a good thing. It sucks right now going through, but like we're saying, only four more games left and then hopefully a brighter future.
Sean?
Jake, Matt, last year, 7-9, they started off bad, but they finished it so well. And everybody was like, okay, great, we got picks and we got cash and stuff like that. Jake, I'll start with you, pal. In your mind, where or when did it go wrong to the fact that this team is now 0-12 after last year it ended so well? In your mind, where and when did it go wrong?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I don't think it's just one thing. I think obviously the team did finish 7-9 last year, and you know, I'd be the first to admit that I was excited about, you know, the idea of surrounding Darnold with more talent and seeing what Joe Douglas could do with his first full offseason. But you know, you look at who they beat in the second half of last year, it wasn't like they were beating world beaters, so you know, kind of buyer beware there. But as a Jet fan, I was excited that they did have a winning record when Darnold played, and there was, I felt, there's some legitimate optimism for the season. But you know, when you looked at what they did in the offseason, not bringing back Robbie Anderson ended up being huge. Just the, you know, just the issues they dealt with early on with injuries, and just the fact that, you know, the coaching staff completely fell apart. Greg Williams had a very good season a year ago coaching up the defense. I felt he regressed just as much as Gase did from whatever we saw last year. So, I mean, they lack talent. Yes, that's obviously a huge factor in all this, but it just – the lack of weapons, the injuries, kind of everything coming together at once at the beginning of the year to you know, cause them to lose some of these close games early. They just never could recover from it. So, I mean, it was really after that Bronco game on that Thursday night where they lost to Brett Rypien, the immortal Brett Rypien on a Thursday night. You know, if they found a way to win that game, and they would not have been a playoff team this year, obviously, but maybe there could have been some momentum. They wouldn't be sitting in a situation here where they're 0-16 because, you know, I was having this discussion on my show the other day. You look at a team like the Giants, right? I don't think the Giants are that much more talented than the Jets are. They're just so much better coached. Like, coaching matters so much in the NFL. And the Jets not only have, like, the worst, like, coach in the NFL, I would argue the coaching staff as a whole might be the worst in the league. So if you combine all that and just some of the mental mistakes and close losses they have had, I mean, they probably should have at least 3 wins, right? That Bronco game should have been a win. The Patriot game on Monday night, obviously the Raider game. So they're awful. But, you know, if you look at, like, the Lions in 08 and the, you know, 2017 Browns, like, those teams talent-wise look a lot worse than the Jets do this year. It's just the coaching is that bad. And I think that's the biggest thing, right? They could have Trevor Lawrence. They could spend all this money. But if they screw up the coaching hire again after they had Bowles and then go from Bowles to Gase, like, if you mess that up again, it won't matter who's playing quarterback for you. Like, they have to get that right. So, you know, it's a long answer to your question there, Will, but I think the biggest thing is just, you know, you have to get the coaching hire right, and they managed to have a bad roster that was that looks a lot worse than it probably is because of just how bad Gase and the entire staff is.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I could echo those same statements. It's, you know, going into this year, I was excited about Sam Darnold going into year 3. I thought, okay, this is a time where we're going to see him take a leap. The offensive line looks better. The weapons are still shaky, and I was never a fan of Adam Gase and that hire. I thought it was a mistake to begin with, but I thought, okay, second year in the system, maybe there's a little bit of momentum, and they could hover around the same record as last year, get rid of the coach, and then go into Darnold's fourth year with a legitimate chance of building around him. But to me, that's been the biggest disappointment is, yes, obviously they are 0-12 right now, and the roster isn't perfect. There's so many flaws with the coaching staff, and Gase is the worst play caller in football, but Sam Darnold's regression is another really big factor to the reason why they are where they are right now. And I didn't want to think this way, you know, just 6 months ago, but Sam Darnold isn't the future of this team. I think this year we've learned that to be abundantly clear. He'll get traded. He'll go somewhere else. I think he'll get his shot. But, you know, to me, I really thought that going into this year, my takeaway was going to be, okay, what can Sam do in a full year and all that stuff? And we are not going to be able to find that out, and he's going to be going somewhere else. But if you're going to have a year to be a bottom feeder team, have an 0-16 season, this is the year to do it when there's a special talented player like Trevor Lawrence coming out.
You know, the other thing is too, you know, the Jets have been bad before. Like, we've seen bad years, you know, we've seen them go, you know, 4-12, we've seen the 5-11s, we've seen them be quote unquote fake good. Like, even last year they start 1-7, we're all furious, but at least, you know, we talked about at the end of the year 6-2 in the second half. Like, they've never been this bad. And maybe they need to be this bad to bottom out, because they have absolute incompetence, you know, around this football team right now. And it starts obviously with the, you know, with ownership, with the Johnson brothers. But like, they need something like this. Like, the Jets needed 1996 to happen with Kotite for Bill Parcells to walk through that door and get the franchise back on track. I don't know who the Parcells figure is this time around. You know, I don't know who it is, but whoever they hire, like, it can't get any worse than it is right now. And sometimes hitting rock bottom could be the best possible thing. And, you know, we joked about Greg Williams, but if they end up with the first overall pick, I'm dead serious on that moment in time being one of the great things to ever happen to this franchise. I feel for Sam Darnold. I feel for those players who aren't tanking, who are busting their tails out there. But they're the sacrificial lambs in all this. And the biggest thing as a Jet fan is finish this year, get the first pick, and let's get to work with, you know, five picks in the first three rounds and all this cap space and, you know, the cornerstones they do have on this team. And, you know, Mekhi Becton and, you know, Quinnen Williams looks like a real player. And I like Denzel Mims. Like, there's some pieces here. They're not as talent depleted as maybe some think in some areas. But if they get the coaching hire right, like, it doesn't take that long to turn it around. The Dolphins were tanking for two a year ago, and here they are 8-4 competing for the playoffs. The Browns, the same thing. When you look at what they've gone through, we talk about the Giants. There's plenty of teams that go from bad to competing for a playoff spot. It doesn't take that long. So that's why, as a Jet fan, as bad as it's been, it's like, let's go all the way. Let's be this bad, because we haven't seen that. I haven't. I'm not old enough to remember that 96 team. So finally, let's complete the perfect season and go from there. Let's make it happen at this point.
All right. So I got this question, and we'll wrap it up with the Jets here. For you guys, you know, you forgot, you also didn't even mention Washington with Ron Rivera being a grown man. The Jets need a grown man here. Forget about an offensive guru or anything like that. They need a grown man here to hold accountability. Somebody that's the total opposite of Adam Gase. For Matt and for Jake right now, you know, who's it going to be? Who's going to be the next man to step up in charge right now? We all know that Adam Gase's name is on the wall right now. Who is it going to be in your mind? We'll start with Matt.
For me, I the last go around, I was a big fan of Matt Rhule. I looked at him and what he did in the college game, and I thought, okay, here's someone who could like take over a program, build it up from the bottom. So I'm going back to the college route. I think Matt Campbell would be the perfect hire for this franchise. I really like what he's done at the college level, and I think he's a guy who, like Matt Rhule, can take a program over, have next to nothing there, and something else that I like, he's worked with both sides of the ball. He's worked with defensive linemen in his past. He's also worked with offensive linemen in his past. So I think that's an advantage to have someone who could do a little bit of everything. And like you said, that's someone who could be like a CEO kind of guy instead of hiring, I don't know, maybe like an Eric Bieniemy who is just more offensive specific. So if you're looking to go that route, to me, that would make perfect sense, a guy like him.
I definitely think you're on the right path there, Matt. I think it has to be a CEO type of coach. Like, it has to be someone that could come in and, you know, do exactly what Joe Judge has done with the Giants. Like, come in and just totally change the culture, change the makeup of the team. I don't think they have to go, you know, quarterback whisperer. Or they got to go and, you know, get someone that's, you know, known for a specific side of the ball. Just get a good coach, man. Go look at the NFL at some of the top coaches in the league. Some of them have backgrounds in offense, defense, special teams. I think a guy like Matt Campbell, a program builder, that makes a ton of sense. I'd be okay, you know, if they spoke to Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator of the Colts, or, you know, Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator of the Niners, or they went with Brian Daboll, who's now doing a great job developing Josh Allen, or Arthur Smith. There's a ton of names out there. Every team's going to be talking to the same, you know, group of about 10 candidates. Just get the hire right. I'm not going to pretend like I know who's good, who's bad. Just get it right, because to go from Todd Bowles, who was horrific, to Adam Gase, where it's just like, it makes you actually miss Todd Bowles, as scary as that is. You know, it's just, you have to get this right, because they have been bad for a decade because they have failed getting the coaching, you know, hires right. And that's the biggest thing to get this team fixed moving forward.
Awesome job, Jake and Matt. Jake, Matt, so 13 weeks now, 14 weeks about to start. Through the first 2.5 months, well, no, about 3.25 months, has there been a surprise team out there? Has there been a surprise player or two that has really stuck out in your mind? Let's start with Matt.
Yeah, for me, I know we talked about him a little bit earlier, but the Miami Dolphins fighting for a playoff spot, I think, is pretty surprising. I thought they were still maybe a year away, but I think that goes back to the conversation we're just having, which is getting the coaching hire right.
Flores looks like a great coach. And last year, that was a team that was supposed to be where the Jets are now. They were going to be a 0-16 or 1-15 team. But they overachieved. They won games they weren't supposed to win. And they ended up having it. They got Tua, but they weren't picking at the very top of the draft. And now in his second year there, they are ahead of schedule because of how good of a coach he is. So to me, I like I said, I thought they were maybe a year away, but they look like a football team on the rise. And then I got to give him some credit. I was not a fan of him coming out in the draft, Josh Allen. I thought he was going to be a risky boomer bust pick. And I didn't like how I thought how his game would transition, but the Bills have done a phenomenal job with him. And he looks great up there in Buffalo. And he looks like that could be, you know, a team on the rise and a perennial playoff contender. So I got to give credit to him as well.
Honestly, the biggest surprise for me is just how bad the Eagles have been and just specifically how bad Carson Wentz been. I understand that, you know, it's been 3 years since he looked like the guy that was going to win the MVP if he didn't get hurt. But you look at what he did last year, and they were 4-0 in December, and he had good statistical numbers despite the fact he had all these injuries around him. And Wentz looked like he was about to be like the guy that would, you know, look like the guy we saw a couple of years ago now that he finally played a full 16-game season. And just for him to be this bad where it's not even recognizable how poor he's played, where he's sitting on the bench now for Jalen Hurts, who was a second-round pick that a lot of people were shocked he even went that high. It's just – it's crazy to me what's happened with Carson Wentz because, you know, before Patrick Mahomes, the NFL went Goo Goo Gaga over Wentz for that 1 year, and then Mahomes entered the league, and, you know, obviously the rest is history. But just seeing his rise to where it is now, that to me is the most shocking thing of the season, just how bad he's been and just how bad the Eagles have been, where there's talk of firing Doug Peterson, a coach that brought a championship to an Eagles team that had never won before, a city that has never seen a Super Bowl, and just 3 years in, there's legitimate talk about whether or not, you know, he'll be back next year. It's just crazy how that's unfolded in Philly.
Crazy stuff. And you look at Washington, too. Washington, the football team, we mentioned Ron Rivera going out there. We knew about their first-round draft picks with their linemen and how they've been hitting it on the head, but their offense really hasn't been that hot. And they've been finding a way to go out there and win ball games. And right now they're tied for first place in that, albeit putrid, NFC East. Speaking of the NFC East and speaking of those two teams, gentlemen, the G-men, the Giants, we can't talk about the Jets without the Giants right now. The Giants went into Seattle, and they wound up basically beating the Seattle Seahawks by a score of 17-12. They wound up looking good. No Daniel Jones. Colt McCoy came in. He filled in the role of game manager, and boy, did he have himself a good day. But how about that Giant defense on Sunday? Gentlemen, let's start off with Jake here with the Giants. How impressed are you with, A, the play of Leonard Williams, and B, with everything going on with the Giants? We know that Joe Judge is probably going to be a front runner for that Coach of the Year award. We know that Brian Flores, the Brooklyn product, is going to probably win it. But how impressed are you with the Giants and Leonard Williams right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, when the Jets made that trade, I was ecstatic. I know every Giant fan that I'm friends with and every Giant fan that I interact with couldn't stand it, but I'll give Leonard Williams a lot of credit. You know, he's playing for a long-term contract, and now Giant fans probably want Dave Gettleman, assuming he's still there, to actually pay him long-term. He's been great, but once again, it just shows you how valuable coaching is, right? I mean, Leonard Williams couldn't unlock it with two different coaches with the Jets, right? He couldn't do anything last year with Greg Williams, and then he had Todd Bowles, who's a defensive-minded guy, at the beginning of his career, and it just never worked, right? So, you know, give credit to Joe Judge and his staff. I think Jason Garrett's done an amazing job calling plays. I think, you know, Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, is going to be a guy that's going to get a lot of head coaching interviews now, it looks like. So they have a really good coaching staff. Judge has done a great job keeping that team in check. Even when they were 1-7 and 0-5, they weren't getting blown out. They've only been beat badly once all year. That was week 3 against the Niners. Like, even their losses are tight. You know, they're game from, you know, sweeping the Eagles this season. So this team's been trending in the right direction all year. And now 4 in a row, winning in Seattle with a backup quarterback. Hey, as a Jet fan, we'll take it because that helps the Jets get a better pick with Seattle. But, you know, it's just crazy seeing the Giants, you know, having a legit chance to host a playoff game. I know the division's terrible, but as I keep saying, the division's bad because the Eagles and Cowboys are awful, and they're the two teams that had expectations. Washington and the Giants had no expectations. So whatever they do is house money at this point if you're a fan of those teams. So, you know, we could rip on the division all we want, but to me, rip on the Eagles and the Cowboys for being terrible. The Giants and Washington, they didn't ask for this. They're just, you know, they're overachieving at this point. That's why both Ron Rivera and Joe Judge will get Coach of the Year votes at this point.
Patty?
Yeah, I think the Giants, like Jake was saying, they've overachieved at this point, but
to Joe Judge's credit and that staff's credit, they have been in each and every one of the games they played for the most part. And early on when both the Jets and the Giants, they didn't have a win, at least when you looked at the Giants, they were competitive and they were competing. And it looked like at points they were trying. At some points with the Jets and their play call, it looks like they're trying to give up. But that was never the case with the Giants. And right now, they're in a situation where, yes, the division's really bad. We understand that. But anytime you can get into the playoffs, we've seen some crazy things happen. We saw Seattle team beat the defending champion Saints in the playoffs in a home playoff right. game. Like, these things can happen. So all you got to do is get in. And right now the Giants are hot. They're playing good football. Their defense has been phenomenal. I was someone who was beating the drum for a Leonard Williams trade from the Jets, and I loved it at the time. And, you know, I still like getting the draft picks for it, but you got to give him credit too, because he seems to finally be getting to the point where we hoped Leonard Williams would be what he is now. He never was that with the Jets. So he's kind of developed into that now, and maybe the Giants do extend him. But, you know, right now their defense has been playing out of its mind, and if you ride that into the next few weeks of the season, I would not be surprised if they come away as the NFC East winner.
Well, I got to go back to the Jets, Jets one more time, Will. Matt, Jake, so it seems like the Jets are obviously going to get that first pick. Matt, I know where you stand on this for the most part, but still, you and Jake here, everybody's saying if the Jets get the first pick, depending on who the coach is, if that coach believes in Sam, why not trade that first pick, get like 8,000 picks back and build the team like that? I don't think it's a bad way to go if the new coach believes in Sam. Jake, I'll start with you here, pal. Depending on who that new coach is, do you think they should keep Sam or trade him away, take, obviously, we know who first and just build it like all that?
Yeah, if you asked me that question probably, you know, week four of the season when we were already starting to hear about, oh, they're going to finish with the first pick, you know, maybe I would have been on board with that. But the way Sam has played this year, now that he has his full complement of weapons, it just seems like his confidence is shot. And the last thing the Jets could do is, you know, trade that pick, and then Trevor Lawrence goes on to be, you know, unbelievable. The new coach is going to want a chance to coach Trevor Lawrence. I just don't see any scenario where someone's taking the Jet job and is like, yeah, I don't want the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck, or yeah, I don't want a guy that people think is the next John Elway or Peyton Manning. I mean, in theory, could that happen? Sure. But I think a new coach comes in and is like, well, we look at Sam Darnold. We still don't know what he is. Do we really want to pick up his fifth-year option, have to pay him all this money, and then have to get our salary cap affected when we could draft a quarterback that's generational and then reset – you know, the quarterback money, because he'd be playing, you know, on a rookie contract. I just think Trevor Lawrence is too enticing for any team to pass up. And if you trade Sam, you probably could get at least a 2 and a 5. So all of a sudden, you add another early pick. Like, you're building. I think any coach that takes the job, the reason why they're taking the job is not because they love Sam Darnold. They're taking the job because they're attracted to the fact that you could get a Trevor Lawrence and instantly start your franchise with a guy that – no one can say a bad word about him. Like, I try and find people that are like, you know, he's not so good, or it's just, he's the guy. So I just don't see any scenario where that would play out.
Yeah, 100%. If Sam Darnold was playing better and they're losing all these games 38 to 35, maybe we could have that conversation, but he hasn't been playing well, unfortunately. And, you know, there probably are still teams and guys in the NFL who like Sam Darnold, but then trade for him at that point. Give up the second or whatever it's going to be in order to trade for him, and you could bring him in. Maybe, just use an example, a team like the 49ers, who aren't going to be picking at that high at the top of the draft. Maybe they would rather go that route instead of waiting till the end of the first round to take a potential quarterback replacement for Garoppolo. But I just think with everything that's gone on this year, we've just learned that Sam isn't going to figure it out here. Could he figure it out somewhere else? Maybe he can, but I'm not willing to take that risk with a generational player staring me right in the face.
Let's see what happens there. You know, April is a far, far day away from that 2021 NFL.
You'll hear every rumor between now and then, but just know if the Jets have the first overall pick, there is no scenario where Trevor Lawrence is not a Jet. He's not going to avoid the Jets. You'll hear that. The same BS came out about Joe Burrow last year. It just, you'll hear everything imaginable, and it's going to end the same way these things always end, with the best player coming out and going to the team that has the first pick. Breaking news, by the way, guys, the Jets are actually the first team to have the first overall pick in the draft, that stinks. No other team's ever been bad that's had the first overall pick. It's only the Jets. So just remember that over the next, you know, 5-6 months where we hear all these ridiculous rumors that they're not going to take Lawrence because he's not going to have time with them and all this other nonsense. Get ready for that.
Wow, worse than the 07 Lions and worse than this than the Browns a couple of years ago when they drafted Baker Mayfield. Crazy stuff right there, Jake. Absolutely. Hey, before we go, we got to do picks. It's going to be quick. We're going to do picks here right now, starting off with the Thursday game. Patriots at the Rams is a rematch of Super Bowl 53. Patriots-Rams, we'll start off with Jake. Who you got in this game?
Yeah, I'll go with New England. I just think they're playing really well right now. It's weird as a Jet fan to actually have to root for the Patriots because I need that Week 17 game to be as meaningful as possible for Belichick. So, yeah, New England's playing good football. I think Belichick is, going to be highly motivated, national audience to prove that he could coach up a great game without Brady being there for this matchup with the Rams again. So, yeah, give me the Patriots in the close game Thursday night.
Patriots on the road. Maddie, who do you got?
Yeah, I actually agree with that pick. I like the Patriots a lot this week. I think they're playing good football, obviously coming off a beatdown against the Chargers. But they're playing for their playoff lives right now. And, yes, they technically are still in the mix. They, need a ton of help to get there, but they can still be a playoff team. And it's very tough for me to count out Bill Belichick. So I think they're at least going to keep this thing close. So I'll take the Patriots also.
Sean?
I think the Rams are the most unpredictable 8-14. Like, they have weeks where they look great. They have weeks where they look bad. So because of that, Will, make it 3 straight picks off the Pats. Give me the Pats.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go opposite. I'm going to go with the Rams here. I think the Rams, still got one of the better defensive players in the league, 2 of the better defensive players in the league. And, all you need is to get a pass rush in Cam Newton's face. That's the difference maker right there. The defense for the Patriots has been good, somewhat to a degree. But give me the Rams here at home on Thursday night in L.A. Moving on now to the set of 1 o'clock games. The Cardinals, another hit-or-miss team so far. They started off the year 5-2, and now they've lost 4 of their last 5 games. They're going into MetLife to go up against the Giants. We'll start off with Maddie here. Who do you have in this game in the Cardinals versus Giants?
I think the Cardinals bounce back. I know they haven't been playing good football recently, but I think that, the Giants have been hot, but I think they're due for a loss. And on the exact flip side, Arizona, they've been struggling a little bit, but I think they're going to figure it out because they, too, are playing for, their playoff lives. So I think Arizona gets one, and then the Giants get back on track next week.
Jake?
I kind of like the Giants here. I've been out on Arizona for a while. They've lost 4 or 5, but if they didn't have the fluke Hail Mary win, they'd be even worse than that, right? So I think their actual roster is not as good as people maybe think it is. They have Kyler Murray, they have DeAndre Hopkins, and then they have a bunch of question marks pretty much everywhere else. So I actually like the Giants here. They're playing well. I think Daniel Jones will be healthy. And as long as he plays, obviously, if ends up re-injuring his hamstring and can't play, I'll change my pick. But, yeah, why not? Giants, momentum. Let them keep winning games, and we'll see what happens, moving forward down the stretch here in that division.
Sean?
Well, I agree with Jake. I think a Giants, I think they make it 5 straight, bro. Momentum is a hell of a thing, Will. So give me a G-man.
I'm going to go with the Giants, too. Top 10 defense, underratedly, and they've been finding a way to go out there and win games. And, the offense with the Cardinals, it's great. But, again, Joe Judge, being that coach over there that he is, I think they find a way to shut down that Cardinal offense. So give me the Giants at home. Moving on to the Vikings at the Buccaneers. Tampa Bay has allowed 74.2 rushing yards per game this season. That's the fewest in the NFL. Credit Todd Bowles there to a certain extent. Vikings, Buccaneers, Bucs are the home team. Let's start off with Sean. Bikes and Bucs, who do you have?
Tampa. Speaking of playoff lives there. I think Brady against that porous secondary of Minnesota, guys. Give me Tampa at home.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm on Tampa, too. I just can't trust Kirk Cousins. He's too inconsistent for me, especially against good teams. I think Brady and the Bucs find a way. So I'm riding Tampa also.
Jake? Tampa off the bye. I got to go with the Bucs.
Yeah, let's clean sweep across the board here with the Bucs. Surprisingly, the Vikings have a top 5 offense overall. So – crazy stuff right there after they started off the year cold. They're getting their feet hot right now, but give me Tampa. Tom Brady mad. Yeah, I like that a lot. Moving on now to the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Kansas City has won 9 straight road games. That's the longest active streak, excuse me. Cat got my tongue there. Do the Dolphins find a way to break that streak? We'll start off with Sean again. Microphone, Sean.
My bad, guys. Chiefs. Short and sweet.
Matt?
Chiefs as well.
I'm going to go with the upset special. I'm going to go with the Dolphins. Why not? Just because. You know, something that happens on the road, it's going to be a closer game than a lot of people think. But let's go with the Dolphins at home. Moving on now to the Titans, Sean's Titans, going up against the Jaguars. We're going to keep this one short and sweet here, guys. It's an AFC South rivalry here. They're 6-1 against Jacksonville since 2017.
Guys. This is embarrassing to say, Will. I actually think the Titans lose here, Will.
Really?
Will, they are probably the second most unpredictable 8-14, Will. And I did not like what I saw. The Browns just took a city woodshed there, pal. So give me a Jaguars, man.
Wow, Jaguars getting their second win. Okay. Matt?
I'm going to go Titans. I'm rooting for the Jags, but I think the Titans get the win at the end of the day.
Right.
Jake?
Yeah, I want to say Jags, but until I actually see them win a game, I don't know. They might be the best 1-11 team I've ever seen. It seems like they're in.
Exactly. You know,
like, yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Like the Jags are like making us have to like sweat everything out and get teased as Jet fans. But yeah, I think the Titans do win. But I mean, I'd love to be wrong here.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the Titans here too, Sean. What the hell's wrong with you? I know you're a fan, but come
I know
on.
My team, bro.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, moving on now to the – talk about another team right here that's a little bit of a surpriser. Dallas Cowboys, yes, they don't have Dak Prescott. They have Andy Dalton back, but they're going up against the Bengals right now. Under 500 teams right here. Guys, you know, toss up here at this point. We'll start off with Jake.
Does it really matter? this game is brutal. I don't know. I'll flip a coin, and then if it's heads, it's one team. If it's tails, the other. I don't know. This game's terrible.
All right, so it's almost a toss-up here, Matt.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of on the same vibes. It's not really a premier game. I could see this one going either way. I wouldn't be shocked either way.
Whatever helps the Jets. I guess the Bengals maybe more of a March. I guess they root for the Cowboys, just so maybe they're not in position to take one of these quarterbacks. I don't know. Maybe whatever way I could try and localize it. I don't really care that much about this one.
Right, exactly. Well, I guess I'm forced to pick it. So give me Cincy at home.
Yeah, give me Cincy at home too. All right. Moving on. Texans, Bears. Guys, who do you have in this game right here? Another one that's kind of a sleeper here somewhat. But who do you guys got in this one?
Houston.
Houston, short and sweet with Sean. Matt?
Houston as well.
Okay. Jake?
Yeah, I like the Texans here. I just think the Bears are just like similar to the Jets. You know, the Bears seem to be incapable of winning games, but at least they started 5-1 somehow. I mean, at this point, maybe. Honestly, here's a hot take. I'd rather be the Jets than the Bears. The Bears are just stuck in quarterback purgatory. The Jets are going to get Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. So
that is a take there, Jake, because wow. A lot of people would say absolutely not. So yeah, that's a serious thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to go with the Texans here as they go, as we all think they're going to go 5-0 all time versus Chicago. Moving on now to the Broncos and Panthers. Another sleeper here. Guys, what do you think about this one?
Matt Rhule, Panthers.
I agree. I think there's going to be an ugly game, but I think the Panthers have a slight edge.
Christian McCaffrey's back for my team, fantasy team, Panthers, baby.
Yeah, short and sweet across the board right there. Give me the Panthers. Moving on to the 4 o'clock games now. Colts, Raiders. This is an interesting game right here. Playoff lives are at stake here. Who do you guys have in this one? Colts versus Raiders. Las Vegas is the home team here.
Colts.
Colts on the road, Matt?
Colts as well.
Colts, Jake?
Yeah, I'll go with the Colts as well. The Raiders, unless they're playing the Chiefs, they've just been, you know, very for most of this year.
Yes, clean sweep across the board right there. That Raider defense is not good, and I think they find a way to go out, the Colts do, and they win this one in the second half of this game for sure. I guess we're going to keep this one short and sweet too. Jets and Seahawks, right?
Seattle, baby.
Seattle, hands down. All right. Saints and Eagles. This is a pretty, not a, it sucks, but whatever. Saints, Eagles, short and sweet here for this one.
Breaking up, Will.
Short and sweet here for this one. Saints and Eagles.
Saints.
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 Saints. When they go marching in, baby. All right, here we go. Battle of 5-7 teams right now. Washington, the football team, and the Niners right now. Who do we have in this one?
Football team.
Football team?
Niners.
Niners, okay. Matt going with Niners. Jake?
I'll go with the team here. Keep it rolling.
All right, I think I'm going to go football team here as well. All right, moving on now to the Falcons and the Chargers. This one and other. This is going to be – should be a high-scoring affair here, so keeping everybody up. And they both rank – both Ryan and Herbert, Matt Ryan, Justin Herbert, ranking the top 10 in yards per game this season. Guys, who do you have in this one?
I didn't hear you. You broke up.
Okay. Falcons, Chargers, who do you have in this game?
I'll go Chargers. Give me Herbert.
Okay, Herbert at home. Jake?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Both these teams are incapable of winning games and holding leads, so I'm curious how this one will play out. I'll go with the Chargers. I feel like they're due for a win. They're you know, if they care about Anthony Lynn, they better win this game. Otherwise, he could be fired. So I'll go Chargers.
Falcons have been playing better since the coaching change. Give me the Falcons upset. Oh, I wrote it well.
Falcons upset on the road. I'm going to go with the Chargers here too. I think it's going to be an interesting game, but yeah, give me the Chargers here at home. Moving on now to the last set of the 4 o'clock games, Packers-Lions, classic NFC North rivalry here. Lions are the home team. We're going to keep this one short and sweet too here, guys.
Packers.
Packers.
Packers. Go Pack, go. Moving on, this is probably the game of the week here. Steelers coming off their loss on Monday, go up against the Buffalo Bills. I think this is going to be a high-scoring affair here. I'm going to go with the Bills. Guys, who do you have in this game?
Neither team can run the ball. So it's going to be the battle of can Ben outthrow Jay? Can Jay outthrow Ben? Give me Buffalo at home.
Okay.
Matt? I'm going to go with the Steelers. I think they bounce back. I know they haven't played that well the last 2 weeks, but I think they're 11-1 for a reason, and I think they have
the edge. I like the Steelers here too. I just think they're due for kind of for you know, a game where they, you know, put things together offensively. I also think Tomlin secretly likes the fact that they lost a game so we can coach on them harder and give more Mike Tomlin cliches, Tomlinisms, as they call them in Pittsburgh. So I like the Steelers here. I think it's a good game. I think both these teams, you know, they meet in the playoffs, would be a lot of fun, but I like Pittsburgh here. You know, no real home field advantage in Buffalo when there's no fans, so give me the Steelers here.
Gotcha. Half and half right there, split down the board. And finally, our Monday Night Football game, we have the Baltimore Ravens going up against the Cleveland Browns. Browns are home. This one might be the game of the week, excuse me. Ravens-Browns, battle of playoff lives here. Who do you guys have in this one? Start off with Sean.
Baltimore.
Baltimore, okay. Matt?
I'm going to go with the Ravens also. I think that they are able to beat the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, Jake?
I like Cleveland here. I haven't loved what I've seen from the Ravens this year. I think that Browns defense is going to, you know, be able to stop the run. And if you stop the run and make Lamar have the pass, he has yet to be able to really beat you down the field. And I think, you know, the Browns are playing well enough offensively where they're, you know, they'll be able to score some points in this one. So I think it's a close game, but I do like Cleveland here at home.
I like Cleveland here too. Their momentum, Baker Mayfield's playing great, and they're finding ways to go out there and win games. All this without Odell Beckham Jr. So pretty good stuff right here. And that basically wraps up our picks. Guys, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And not only that, but with everything going on, you know, Jake, I know you're a busy man. Thank you so much for sacrificing some time with us. Guys, any final thoughts here on this episode?
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
No, yes, same here. Thank you so much for having me on. Appreciate it, man.
No problem.
Thank
guys.
You, Matt. Thank you, Jake. Let's go Islanders.
All four Islander fans right here, baby.
Perfect.
I gotta get a date for this season to start up already. I'm still
January
waiting.
13th. It's 13th.
Yeah.
Let's get it on. Let's go. Let's rock the barn. Let us in, baby.
One more time. Let's
rock the bank now, baby. Rock the bank now.
Already. That's it. Jake, man. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, Matt. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Be safe down there in Houston, bud. All right. Awesome stuff, man. You too. All right. For everybody from the On the Board Sports Podcast, for Jake Aspen and for Matt O'Leary, and for my wonderful co-host, Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Shawnee on the mic, I am your host, Will Trucci, a.k.a. Will C, logging out. We'll talk to you guys soon. Peace out. Stay safe out there, wherever you may be, and God bless you all. Peace out.